When everyone is on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing and context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Hey, welcome everyone to the From the Shadows podcast. I'm your host, Shane Grove, flying solo today. Jason, super producer, could not be with me. So hopefully I can carry the show on my broad shoulders without Jason. He will tell you otherwise, but I will try to prove him wrong. So I just want to remind everybody that's tuning into the show that if you have a story or you have an encounter that you want to share with us, you can find us on the From the Shadows podcast on Facebook. You can find us on our forum page on Facebook called After the Shadows. You can find me at Shane Grove Author on Instagram. You can find us at From the Shadows podcast on Instagram, or go to www.fromtheshadowspodcast.com. Hit the contact button and send me an email and I will get it, read it. I'll respond to it. We love hearing from our listeners. We love hearing from people that have stories to tell because they make the best guests. And even if you don't want to come on the show, send us your story. Over on Patreon, I do from time to time read people's stories that don't want to be on the show, but send us something pretty interesting. So that's another place you can go check us out is on Patreon. There's different levels. You can get shows commercial free. You can get extra content. So go check us out over there too. So tonight joining us, and I think most everybody that listens to the show knows we're based in Ohio. So we love when we have fellow Buckeyes on the show. Tonight is no different. We have Kyle from, I'll just say, Central Ohio. He can get into exactly where I'm talking to him from. But Kyle, welcome to the From the Shadows podcast.
Well, thank you for having me.
Hey, oh, and there's Ace. Let's not forget Ace in the back. Ace does not want to be. And I think somewhere there's Pete. Pete, you want to say hi?
Yeah, this is Pete.
Hey, there you go. There you go. So Kyle, why don't you, reached out to you, and I saw something that you had put up on Facebook. because we are fellow Buckeyes, I think you've had a couple interesting Bigfoot sightings in Ohio. Am I right?
Yeah.
So do you want to kind of share with the audience, like, where, when these took place, and just kind of let's hear about your experiences?
Well, they would have taken place. The first one was on my farm, my mom and dad's farm on 203. It was probably about 1993, 1994. I was on my bike. And I was in the field playing on the field. And then when I came around a corner there in the field, there was, I seen these eyes, and I stopped to look. And then once my headlight really shined on it, it stood about 7 feet, 8 feet tall. And it was all full of, you know, hair. And, being a kid kind of scares the crap out of you.
I guess, how old were you?
I was about 13, 14.
About 13 or 14. Now, what were you, said you came around and there were headlights. What were you riding on something?
Yeah, I was riding on my, it would have been a Suzuki.
Suzuki. So like a motorcycle, like a dirt bike,
yeah,
or something. Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
And it was probably about 11:30 at night.
11:30. And is that something that you normally did, is tool around on your farm at 11:30 at night?
Yeah.
You're already braver than I ever would be, for sure. So you come around the corner and your headlights meet this creature. What's going through your head?
Well, at first I'm trying to figure out what it is. Then once I wrap my mind around it, I didn't kind of stick around to, you know, to see if it was going to run the other way or not. I got out of there, you know, real, real fast. And then once I got up to the house, I told my dad, told him, I said, there's something back there. I don't know what it is. It's something very tall. And I said, it's all full of hair. I said, I don't know what it is. When we went back there, we actually found one like print. It wasn't, you know, deep, but on my dad, he said maybe it was a homeless man. I'm like, that was definitely not no man.
I was probably, if it was, it's the biggest homeless man you'd seen, right?
Yeah.
So now where this took place in Ohio, like, what, describe like the lay of the land. I mean, what's, is it near like a national park at all, or a state park?
Actually, no. It was in between it's in between two towns, in between the Green Camp, Ohio, and Prospect.
Oh, okay.
It was in between, you know, there.
Now, is this, so your dad just, he didn't believe it was an animal, of course.
No.
So it wasn't like he had had an experience and he's like, oh yeah, son, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Right.
So at that point, and you said early 90s, did you even know what a Bigfoot was?
I mean, I've seen the books and the things on it, but, you know, you never think in Ohio you're ever going to see something like that.
No, and I got to be honest, I've heard other stories about people seeing Bigfoot down around Prospect, for sure. Is there, because there's a river, right, that runs through, what river runs through?
That would be the Stinky Scioto.
The Scioto River.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's a pretty good sized river.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Yeah. So it makes sense, you know, because I guess one of the prevailing thoughts is that these animals, that, you know, that's like a highway for them to go up and down the river.
And everything else.
So you see this thing. Does it move? Do you smell anything? Does it make a noise or?
You know, it was about 9:30. I was out in the field. It was me and my friends, and we smelled what we thought was like something dead. And I'm like, well, there must be something over there dead. And we didn't really think anything of it because, you know, it's on the farm and we smell that stuff all the time anyways. But, you know, apparently it was hiding somewhere watching us. But then once I came around with the bike and, you know, seen it, it just stood there.
Wow. And so now when you went back in to tell your dad, and did he say, well, what he said was thought it was a homeless man. Did he like say, okay, let's go out and see if it really is? Because, I mean, you wouldn't really want somebody on your property.
Well, he was more right. He was more curious to what, you know, if he goes, he was more curious that there's some, he goes, like he's like my dad said, he goes, there's got to be someone out there.
But it never crossed his mind that it might be a animal. Well, I mean, why would it? Back in the 90s, like you said, especially in Ohio, you never would have thought that. You didn't, like, I mean, I'm from almost just directly north of where you guys were from. And I didn't even know what was going on in the eastern part of the state, you know, over with Grassman and the Minerva Monster and stuff. I didn't know any of that stuff. You know, we just didn't have a way of learning about it. So did you have another experience on the farm there at any time?
Actually, no, but it would have been 2003. We were up in the upper part of the Michigan, and me and my wife were reading, and she goes, "What is that smell?" And I said, "It smells like a dead animal." I said, "I don't know what it is."
Well, she was out with you, you know what I mean?
Well, yeah.
Listen, I didn't want to say it.
And then, you know, I'm like, I don't know what it is. It must be something dead. It's, you know, it's fine. The next morning, we got up, and out in the woods is this loud, loud crash, like something huge was trying to run. And then when I went out to the window to, you know, to see if something, you know, if there's something there dead, and I seen these huge, these really huge, huge prints that were probably about, if it was a shoe size, it'd be like a size 18 to 19.
Holy smokes. That's good size shoe.
Yeah.
I mean, I wear a 13, and I can't imagine how big an 18 would look next to that.
So if me and my wife were thinking, this thing must have been staring in the window.
Really? Like outside of where you guys were staying? Like, what were you staying in? A camper or something?
We were staying in a small little cabin in the forest right on a lake.
Oh, okay. All right. So you guys could smell the thing outside the cabin?
Yeah, it stunk.
Well, the truth of it is I got sprayed by a skunk while I was trying to see if I caught them doing anything, you know.
Oh, okay.
So that's where the smell came from, and it was me trying to peek through the window, you know.
Finally, Kyle, does Pete wear a size 18?
I wear a size 10.
Oh, man.
And at that, when I showed the footprints to my dad, that's when he goes, there's definitely something out here.
So did it dawn on, so your dad was up there with you in the Upper Peninsula then?
Yeah.
Okay. So at that point, did Did you say, hey, do you remember when I was a kid and I saw something out in the field?
No.
You didn't? You didn't remind me? Nope. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. What? I would have been like, that's like every kid's dream. Say, Dad, you idiot. Don't you know this is the same thing that I saw? I mean, my kids don't miss a chance to call me an idiot. What are you talking about? I mean, yeah, that would have been a perfect time to say. Because did your dad see the footprint back in Ohio? Or did he see the one back in Ohio that you said you saw?
Yeah.
And even he didn't, like, make a connection and say, that's pretty similar.
He probably did, but he didn't say anything out loud.
So is he one of those guys that is not gonna admit to something that may that
oh yeah you
know. Okay, now so you have not, is he still around?
Oh yeah, he's 73.
So have you ever like talked to him about those being connected since then or anything?
Now he came to the conclusion, he goes, there's definitely something out there, and he goes, we really need to find it.
So now all of a sudden he's ready, he's raring to go.
Before
when you were a little kid, he's like, that's a homeless guy. And now it's like, okay, jeez. So down around the Prospect Green Camp area, have you guys heard of anybody else having
experiences? I haven't. I mean, I have. I think it was my granddad said that there was one spotted in like 1950s there.
Oh, in the 50s? Okay.
Yeah.
Which back then might have been, they might have called it a wild man or something. You know what I'm
saying? Yeah.
Might not even. Okay. I'd just be curious if anybody out there that's even listening, especially from Ohio, because we did have a guest on recently who had some interesting things to say about North Central Ohio. Around the Marion Waldo area, which this area is all basically the same, you know.
Oh yeah,
that what you're talking about. Do you guys? Well, the thing that happened in the Upper Peninsula. Did you guys ask around? Is that a place that you guys go to frequently, or is it?
Oh yeah.
So since you go back there, have you ever asked around to the locals and?
Well, they actually say that actually happens a lot.
Really? That people see them or they smell them and see footprints or something?
They usually see them, but they said that's one of the things that, you know, you see them up here quite a bit, and they're like to us, it's just like deer. It's like, yeah, whatever.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. That's a little interesting that they see them enough that they're just like deer. So do you guys, you know, because we're going to get into what else it is that you guys do, but do you guys do any going out and looking for Bigfoot at all or doing any, you know,
we haven't yet, but.
Yeah, I'm strictly the paranormal part. He likes to go out and. Search for stuff like that. He's invited me a few times, but I'm more into.
So you're the brain. And, you're the brains of the group, is what you're telling me.
Well, we're right? equal.
Yeah.
You know, I'm more the one that goes out and goes in first because I sometimes can sense a lot of things, and he doesn't like that. So he tries to be the last one in, let me go in and see what I feel or see or whatever, and then he'll come in.
So Kyle's the brains of the outfit. Sent Pete in first.
he's the recorder and the cameraman. You know, I'm the one that has to get attacked first if we're gonna get attacked.
So let's, you know, let's kind of transition from, you know, this couple Bigfoot stories into your guys' paranormal research. And you guys told me it's called, you guys' group is called the Paranormal Ohio People.
Yes.
Pop. Okay. Yep. Now, Kyle's had a jab at your dad because he was a non-believer for so many years. And you're just like, I'm going to call it Pop. I'm just checking. So tell me a little bit how you guys got into the paranormal part of, of what it is you guys do.
Well, I've always been curious about, you know, the spirits out there. When I was growing up on the same exact farm, that house was haunted. So, I mean, I've always been around ghosts. So, I mean, it was one of those things I was always curious about.
And I myself, you know, as a kid, my mom and I seemed to have this weird sensory connection. Like a lot of times when I was younger and I would walk to school, before I'd head out the door, she said, hey, be on the lookout for this vehicle or this person or whatever. And on the way to school, of course, that vehicle or person would show up. You know, so as I got older, I started honing in more on, I guess you'd say the sensory part of my brain, you know, was able to pick up on a lot of spectrums, so to speak.
Okay.
So, but my first real experience was I was at a movie theater, and I was there first before everyone else. What's that? I was there first before everyone else, and you know how they have the screen up with the lights on it, mm-hmm. or the advertisements and stuff. And I guess this movie theater had been built on top of an old burial site, and something kept making me focus on the screen, and you know, and it was telling me to look up, and I looked up, and they had one of those. You know how the movie theaters have like the ceiling fans and stuff, the older movie theaters. And this fan's just rocking around and everything. And this feeling or voice, you know, I mean, I could hear it in my head, not out loud, but it was telling me that I need to let management know that if they don't fix that, somebody's going to get hurt. And so I went, you know, told management. They said, oh, no, that fan's been doing that for years. It's fine and all that and everything. And the next day I see in the paper that after I left, there was another showing and everything. And, of course, the fan did come down and hit a few people that were sitting in that area. And I was like, wow, you know, if they would have just listened to me, you know. And
was the fan moving?
Yeah, the fan was spinning and you looked up, you saw it rocking around, but it looked like, I mean, they said it's been doing that for like 4 or 5 years. So I'm like, okay. I ended up moving away from it because I didn't want it to fall on me, obviously. But no, the movie came on and we watched the movie and I left, and then they had their next showing. And I guess the crowd that got in there for the next showing, you know, the fan just fell and hit, I think it was like 5 people that were sitting up underneath it. And I was like, well, I guess they should have listened to me because I was trying to listen to the voice that was telling me. But wow. that was my start, you know. And after that, it's like I could walk into areas, you know, and just start feeling. It's kind of almost like a sick feeling in my stomach. But then it starts turning into. How do I explain it? In some cases, it's like something's trying to take over and it gets my attention. So then I try to focus in on what it is and everything. And then it directs me into different areas. And Kyle and myself, you know, we've been on quite a few excursions where I go in and I feel these things and, then we talk to the family to find out some information. I don't like to ask information up front because you get preconceived ideas in your head and then every little sound you hear or whatever starts creating a picture, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, yeah.
So I like to go in with as little information as possible. And then if I start hearing or feeling things, I'll pass it on to Kyle or we'll talk to the homeowner or business owner and then find a little more things out and assure that what I'm sensing they're agreeing with, you know. But we've had quite a few times where, I mean, there's a Trotters Club here in Marion that we were called to go and check out. And we went in and we did our thing and we, you know, sent some things. And they ended up asking us if we can do a cleanse and see if we can get the two spirits that they believed were there to move on. And we did our cleanse and we never heard back from them. So we assumed that that moved on.
Did you go into the place then and
oh yeah,
confirm what they
usually what we do is we usually tell the clients, you know, if you hear any other noises, anything, just call us and we'll come back. I said, if everything is good and all, then you're good.
Well, what I meant was, so they felt there was a couple spirits there, and you guys went in and confirmed that there was a couple spirits.
Well,
and
they did
the cleansing.
Yeah, they also had a lot of their patrons also were, you know, when we went in, a lot of the patrons were confirming that they had seen these spirits, and they had seen things getting like beer glasses being knocked over, things of that nature, and they believed that one of them was like a real angry spirit. So we went in to see what we can feel and find and everything. And in the end, we ended up just trying to ask if the spirit wanted to stay, that it had to just basically behave, you know, that they don't mind it being there. They just didn't want it to do anything to harm anyone or to scare anyone. If it wanted to party, it could party, you know, basically. But, you know, no crazy antics where it's chasing people away. And, we told them in the end that if they experienced anything else, obviously give us a call. And we never heard back from them. And so we left it at that. And there's sometimes we do get called back. You know, one gentleman just about 6 months ago, right?
Yeah, about that.
Yeah, we went to his home because he was having some issues. He was really scared. Him and his kid kept leaving the house to stay at family. And we went in and we got what we got. And then we cleansed the place for him. He said everything seemed to quiet down, but then he said it started back up. So he wanted us to come back. But before we can come back, he just said he didn't want to deal with it anymore. So he packed up and moved. But, you know, that happens. And, you know.
So Pete, we kind of glossed over this a little bit.
I'm sorry.
That you said your mom and you had this kind of connection.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, that's good. Look, my mom made me lunch every day, but we didn't have like a psychic connection.
No. Okay?
So can we go? I'd like to
hear. Oh, yeah, I can go back to that. Yeah,
like my mom. And how did she, like, when did she first start having
she ability? Said that she felt it when she was a teenager, but she never told anyone. But the way that we found out, me and her really had this connection, is I got up. I used to take the bus, but this particular day I had to walk to school because I had missed the bus, and my school was, you know, quite a distance away. But she said, hey, be on the lookout for this black car. It's going to have two gentlemen in it. They're going to come by you, because I had to walk by this lake. There was a sidewalk around. It was called 119th Street Lake, and it was a big lake, but, you know, there's streets and all that. But she said a black car is going to come up on you, and they're going to say, hey, you want to buy some jewelry, because they're going to try to sell you jewelry. And they're going to tell you that, you know, it's close to Mother's Day and, you know, stuff like that. She says, do not stop. Keep walking. Try to get away from them. She says, you're going to go around the corner and they're going to still come up on you. So just be careful. I said, okay. You know, I didn't think nothing of it. But then I get to 119th Street Lake. And of course, this car pulls up, black car pulls up. The guy's leaning out. He says, hey, man, he says, you want to buy some jewelry? You know, it's Mother's Day and everything. We got some good deals here. We got a trunk full of jewelry if you want to come over and look at it. And I said, no, I'm good. You know, thanks. Move on. You know, and I kept walking and they kept following me and just kept saying, hey, man, we got really good deals. I said, no, no. So I said, well, I'm going to turn at the corner and take a different route. Well, of course, they come down that way and all. And eventually I just turned to him and I said, hey, man, you guys need to keep going. Leave me alone, you know, or I'm just going to yell out, you know. And they took off. And of course, I got to school. And then when I got home, I told my mom what happened. And she goes, well, I wasn't surprised. She said, I always felt that you and I had the same kind of connection. I just never wanted to say anything because that was just one out of maybe a dozen other times. But at that point, I just started, I got books on clairvoyance and ESP and stuff like that and started studying it. It seemed like it helped me enhance it more to where I could be in certain surroundings and just feel things about people around me, which can kind of be overwhelming, you know, at times.
Kyle, does that freak you out knowing that he can do that? And so whatever you're thinking right now, it doesn't freak you. So the fact that he knows maybe like what you're thinking about what he's wearing right now doesn't bother you?
No.
You just So Pete, like, don't you go home and say, like, what the heck, Mom? How did you know that?
Yeah, I walked in. Well, what it was is I walked in and she was already by the door and she's just looking at me with that look like, did it happen? So I was like, well, Mom, what you said was right. You know, a black car. I described the car and the guys to her and all that. And she said, oh, she goes, I was hoping I was wrong, you know, and all that. But another instance, I used to be a daredevil when I was a kid because I grew up in the Bronx. So there's not a lot of grass and trees.
I was going to say, did this take place in Prospect or Green Camp? Because
this happened in Florida, but I'm originally from New York. And what's funny there is, like I said, I'm a daredevil, and New York has very little trees and grass, at least where I lived at. So when we moved to Florida, I was like, wow, you know. So I became a wild man, you know, climbing trees and jumping things and all that and riding my bike and jumping ramps. And but there was one time I got hurt really bad. I mean, I literally pretty much scalped the top of my head. And they called my mom, but before the phone even rang, she had picked it up and she said, what hospital is my son in? And they're like, what? You know, we didn't even say anything. She goes, just tell me what hospital my son is in and if he's alive, you know, if he's okay. And so they told her where I was and she showed up and she told me, she says, I knew you was hurt because before the phone even rang, I picked it up because I knew you were hurt and they were going to call me. So I said, Mom, you need to stop doing that, you know?
Yeah, you're like freaking people out, Mom.
Yeah, you know.
Wow. Like, but, so, well, and this is a side of, like, did those dudes ever, did they do that to another kid? I mean,
I don't know. I never talked to anybody else about it. So, I mean, I never saw anything in the news or anything, you know. But, you know, it's Florida. Who knows? They might have moved to a different part of the town or neighborhood or something and tried it again, you know. That part of Miami was not a very safe place.
You know, right there, though, you could have really freaked them out when they pulled up and said, hey, look, guys, I know it's almost Mother's Day, but I don't want any of that jewelry that my mom.
I should have. I should.
Oh, my gosh. You could have scared those dudes straight for the rest of the
day.
Scared them straight. Oh, my. So this is a gift, I guess you could say, that you then kind of realized you could work at improving, maybe.
Yeah.
Is that a good way to look at it?
Well, yeah, you can look at it as a gift at times, but sometimes, especially when you're in a crowd of people, like, you know, if you're at Disney World, because one time I was at Disney World and, you know, you got hundreds of people around you. And I just kept getting these feelings every time people would walk by me. And then sometimes I would just want to go up to somebody and say, hey, you know, did this happen or did that happen? Or, you know, and sometimes it can get overwhelming to where you're just like, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to feel it because you know, some, it's just a lot, you know. And then I worry that what if I knew about my family or friends? Do I really want to know what's going to happen to them at any particular time, you know? So sometimes I step back and try to suppress it, I guess is the word, you know.
So you've kind of figured out a mechanism as far as shielding yourself from some of that stuff is what.
Yeah, and a lot of situations, you know, when I'm in big crowds and stuff, I try to just, if I can, shut it off, you know.
Now, I mean, I can understand like your mom having a real tight, specific connection with you and knowing maybe, you know, maybe being able to pick up on something more specific. But like when you're in a big crowd like that and it's just random people you don't know, are the feelings that specific that you could go up and ask somebody a question about something that pertain to what you're feeling? I mean, is that?
Well, it doesn't break it down to where I can say it's if, you know, hey, your mom or your loved one who's passed on is trying to tell me, but it's strong enough to let me know that somebody around me might have something going on, or they might have a spirit family member following them around, you know, or the family member wants to let them know. Perfect example is when I used to work for this place in Upper, and one of the gentlemen I worked with, his dad had passed away. Really nice guy, but he was an elder, you know, he had worked for a long time. And he had passed away, but his biggest thing that everybody remembers about him is that he always walked around with a smile. So it was like a month later or so, I'm at my table building my doors and everything, and I kept seeing this shadow around me. And at first I just brushed it off, saying it's just my imagination, but I kept seeing it. And then I turned to address the shadow, and it was this gentleman smiling at me. And so I said to him, I said, are you trying to tell me something? And he says, basically his mouth was moving, and he basically wanted me to let his son know that he was still there working, you know, because he loved working there, that he was still there, he's having a good time, you know, and that everything's okay with him. So I didn't know how to approach this guy I worked with, but I eventually just went up to him and I said, hey, I'm not trying to upset you or anything, but I just need to let you know that your dad's okay. He's actually here with you, you know. This is where he likes to be because this is where he's been for years, you know, just smiling and continuing to do his thing. And he broke down in tears and everything, but he thanked me and all because he was worried that his dad was not in a happy place. And I said, nope, he's having a great time, you know, and all that. So he gave me a hug and everything and said, thank you. You know, I was really worried, wondering, you know, if he's all right and all that. So I was able to ease his pain. But sometimes I have that and sometimes I don't. Sometimes it's just a feeling that there is somebody around or something going on, you know.
Wow, that's some incredible stuff right there. I don't know. I mean, I got to hand it to you. I don't know that I could, or the normal person, I mean, yeah, could just accept that. That's a lot. For lack of a better term, it's a lot of responsibility, kind of.
It is. It can be funny at sometimes, too, because we used to belong to a Boy Scout troop, and one of the head leader, he always tried to stay away from me because he said every time he got close to me, he felt that somebody was there with us. And he didn't like that feeling. He says, my hair stand up every time I get next to you. So he always put people between us, you know. So it was kind of comical at times.
Jeez. So to get back then into what you guys are doing now, so basically when you're feeling stuff, like you said at Disneyland, it's not from the people. It's from a spirit that may be attached to them. Is that what you believe?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's not that I'm feeling them. I'm feeling
the
energy around them, that it could be a child, a mother, a brother, you know, just any of those. And, you know, did, like I said, Disney's got hundreds of people there at any time. So you're feeling all this energy, you know, and it gets to the point where you can't even enjoy having fun because you're just constantly turning around, like looking this way, looking that way, you know, like which one of these people am I getting it from, you know, or, you know, so I had to kind of learn how to just say or step back and tell everybody, tell this energy to just leave me alone, you know, let me have fun, you know, let me do my thing, you know.
Well, and so, I mean, I don't know how many different times from like The Sixth Sense to how many other movies try to portray that sort of ability. How close do they come, like movies wise, to portraying what it's really like to have that ability?
Well, there's quite a few of them, you would agree, right? That they come pretty close.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's some of these shows that I watch or that, well, we watch. Sometimes we'll call each other and we'll say, hey, did you see this show or that show? And we'll say, I call BS on that, you know.
Yep.
Because you don't always walk into some place and right away start saying, oh, you know, your house is on an eight. In the ancient Indian ground, you know, or, oh, this is happening. You know, you got to give it time. And in a lot of cases, if there is a spirit there, there's a lot of times they don't want to let us know they're there.
Yeah. They actually just lay quiet.
They don't want to let us know because they know that we're there to possibly try to see if they will move on, you know, so they don't want to move, you know?
Yeah. I've heard that too. Like they're hiding from you guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or they, and I don't know, like, I kind of get the impression that sometimes some of those spirits don't realize they're the spirits.
Right.
You know, and that you coming into where they're at, maybe you are the spirits to them. And they're like scared and trying to figure out what it is you guys are up to. Like,
yeah, we're intruding in their home. Cause like you said, they don't know that something has happened. So in their eyes, it's like, who are these people in my home? You know,
kind of like the Others. Remember that Nicole Kidman?
Yeah, yeah.
One where you get to, and if I'm spoiling it for anybody 20 years later, I'm sorry. But you know, you get to the end, and the people who think everybody else is ghosts, they're the ghosts.
Right.
Wow. So going back to what you guys are doing today, then how do you prepare yourself to walk into every place then, especially ones that people, you know, say are haunted? I mean, you just to the point where, well, I just got to go, you know, rip the band-aid off and go in, and whatever happens, happens.
Well, a lot of times we'll do a prayer before we actually start. That way we can pray and make sure that we go in these places that we're protected by God.
And so that seems to kind of help as you guys go in.
Yeah.
And one of my ways of preparing myself is I never go into any place we're asked to go into with any fear, because fear is an open door to, especially if it's a bad spirit or entity or anything of that nature, fear is an open door to where they can get into your space, you know.
Could a spirit like that really physically harm you?
Oh, I've had one that that tried to take me down to the ground.
We were here in Marion at a park called Sawyer's Park. It used to be Sawyer's Insane Asylum. It closed its doors in 1977, but there was a crematorium in the back corner where they used to cremate the bodies, and if no one picked up their ashes, there was also a pond there where they would just dump their ashes in the pond. Oh, but about 1979, 1980, there was a group of girls that went back there to practice the witchcraft. Whatever portal they opened, they never did get it closed. And when I was back there with Pete actually got attacked, and he actually, I mean, he went down hard. And that's when my wife said she's never going with us again.
Yeah. She was standing next to me when this happened, and the hairs on her arm started standing up, and the wind just where me and her were, the air got cold. There was a breeze where nobody else, because everybody else was a little further away, but none of them were feeling a breeze. And it was literally like what it felt like at first was like somebody was grabbing the inside of my stomach, trying to twist it. And I turned to her and I said, this thing's like trying to get me and all that. And so she grabbed a hold of me, and then she felt energy. So she let go and it started upsetting her. So she says she yelled for Kyle and some other friends that were with us. And they were trying to keep me from going to the ground because it literally was knocking me to the ground. And so he was doing the prayer, and we were walking, dragging me and all that. And the wife I had at the time, she was taking pictures, and there was the orb energy ball was like super huge.
It was real.
And the further we got away, she just kept flashing, you know, taking picture. So as we're getting further away, the orb started getting smaller, which meant we were getting further away from its energy. And when we got, as we were going away, I started feeling better and stuff. So to test it out, I walked a little bit back out there, and it right away tried to attach to me. And also at that point we said, well, we got to leave right now, you know.
So did it only try to get you?
Yeah, because I'm more the open portal, so to speak. It sensed that I had the ability to know it was there. So I think it was trying to tell me to not let anybody know it was there, you know.
Wasn't it trying to like twist your insides out?
It was counterproductive
to you not to.
Well,
hey,
again,
don't tell
like,
anybody, I'm going to try to gut you, but don't tell anybody that I'm here.
Right. Okay. But like I said, I didn't show it any fear. So it was more like a battle between its will and my will, you know, and I came out on the winning end, I guess. I've been back there since, you know, quite a few times, and it lets me know that it's still there. And, so I know where my boundaries are. Like if I'm not feeling 100%, you know, like if I got a cold or something like that, I know my boundaries. As soon as I feel that energy, I step back and just let everybody else walk up. You know, it doesn't seem to bother anybody else because it just knows they're not going to know it's there. You know what I mean?
So is that just the energy from one entity, or is that a combined energy? Like you said, would they dump the ashes back there if they weren't clean? I mean, is that a combined effort there? What do you think?
I'm going to say it's just one. I think when the girls are back there practicing the witchcraft, I think they invited back there a demon that they never got that portal closed. So that demon is just stuck right there.
Wow. Okay. So now is that something you guys would try to get rid of if you could, or you just,
well, in all honesty, we wasn't expecting that to be there. I mean, we just went out to see if what we could pick up. And, this one just seemed to let us know it was there. What it was doing, because later on, as we went back other times, right, we found other spirits and recordings. But there's even one where a woman told us to leave because it knew we were there and it didn't want us there. So it was holding these other spirits, you know, kind of in a cage, basically. And it doesn't want us there to let these other spirits go, which we have. We've actually released some. But yeah, when we're there, it knows especially when I'm there, and he doesn't like that because I say he because it seems like it's a male entity. He doesn't like when I'm there because I'm able to sense him and say, well, you know, if we're going to do this battle, I'm going to release some other spirits while I'm here. So
yeah, I know when we got the EVP of this spirit or demon, it spoke to us first in Latin, which hasn't been spoken in years. And then it also told us in a low growly voice to go away.
Wow. And you guys caught that on an EVP?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
It actually says, go away, get out. It was bad enough that we had a gentleman that was wanting to join our group, and that was the last time we seen him. He said, hey, my wife's calling me.
Yeah.
And he never came back.
Wow. I'm just going to ask, is that something that we could get a copy of and share with our listeners?
We should be able to. Well, okay. Let me go see if. Hang on.
You don't have to do it right now. I can get it from you later. We'll put it up on social media. Yeah, we'll put it up on our social media. That would be crazy. Yeah, I'd love like any kind of evidence that you guys might have got. We could put together like a little montage of stuff. Like if we got some pictures and some EVPs, and we could put that out there so people could see what you guys have captured. I mean, look, it is the Halloween season, so we might as well just go ahead and scare the Now, is that the old? Now, when you say you think it's a demon, like people throw that word out a lot, and I hear people kind of say, "Well, not everything. It's not really a demon. This is what a demon is." And I mean, I don't know who's right and who's wrong, but would you guys think it's?
Saying it's a demon is because it actually spoke to us in really old Latin that has not been spoken probably since the 1600s.
Yeah. I categorize it as that sometimes. Well, not just that one, but anyone that we come across that seems to be really, really strong, you know, because it's angry enough that it's absorbing whatever energy it can possibly absorb in order to put up that battle or in order to chase you away, you know? Because for it to have that much energy, it has to be an angry entity, because someone who's just trapped or something like that, you know, they got energy that you can feel, but when you feel that really strong energy, it's usually an angry spirit. So I guess that's why we categorize it in some cases as a demon, because they are doing demonic kind of things, you know. I mean, they're trying to hurt you. If they're pulling people's hair, like some of the places we get called to, you know, it's like, hey, they grabbed my child and threw it down the stairs. That's not a nice spirit, you know. That's a spirit that's basically telling you it wants you out of there. It wants to be the sole control to this area. So that is kind of demonic in a sense, you know.
And there's a lot of times when we're in a house, we'll go in a room and the air is so heavy and so hot and thick that you can't breathe.
Yeah, you can't breathe.
And I mean, if you're a trapped spirit, heaven-bound spirit, you're not going to put off that kind of on the energy where it's going to make the air real, real, you know, hot and thick.
Because here's another example is we use electronics, our cameras and our recorders, and we stop and get brand new batteries just for the heck of it. You know, we put brand new batteries in and make sure the dates are good on them, so they should be charged. And we can walk into an area, and in some cases, 5 minutes after we're there, none of our electronics want to work. Yeah. But when we go back outside or get back in our vehicle and check everything works fine, you know.
Which that shouldn't happen. Yeah. Once it's dead or doesn't work, right? It shouldn't just all of a sudden.
Right. It should just stay, incapacitated.
Yeah. Exactly. What's one of your favorite places here in North Central Ohio that you guys have visited? As far as, I don't know how to say favorite, because what would be favorite about it? Like, what's one of the most haunted places in North Central Ohio you guys have been around, or anywhere in Ohio, I guess, for that matter?
We've been to about four or five different cemetery areas that are supposedly haunted.
We've been to the Mansfield Reformatory.
Mm-hmm. Now, what did you guys think about that?
It was quite interesting. When I was there, I mean, I felt a little bit of stuff, but not too much. There's a place in West Virginia. I'm trying to remember the name of it because I went there.
Is that like the way is Waverly in West Virginia? Waverly Hills?
Hang on. It was a lunatic. Lunatic
asylum. I should have remembered the name, but now I'm got brain lock all of a sudden. Lunatic asylum. But
the Trans
Allegheny. Yeah, Trans Allegheny.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Now that place. I was there with when I was still married. She took me there as on vacation. We were gonna go to a winery out there, and we were gonna go to Trans Allegheny. And we're in there, and we're going on the tour. And we get to, I think it was maybe the third floor, and our guide said, well, you guys can freely look around in any of the rooms up here. And everybody just kept walking around and all. And we started walking, and I stopped, and something was pulling me into this one room. And I turned, and we walked in there, and this room had what looked like blood smeared all over the walls. I even got a picture of it. I'm going to have to find that and give it to you. But I felt like a lot of energy in there, and I'm like, wow. And I'm like, is this real blood? Cause it looked like real blood. So I asked the guide, and she says, we've painted that over. She says, I'd say like a million times. And she says, it just keeps coming back. So we just stopped doing it. She said, because there was a woman that they had in that room that she would cut herself up. And she would just smear it all over the wall and everything. And she goes, it surprised me that you found that room, because nobody usually ever goes to that room, you know, in all the years I've been here. I said, well, something pulled me into this room, you know. So that was an odd thing, you know. And then we went down to where they, the morgue. And they have this big, you know how the morgues have the coolers.
Yeah.
And of course the coolers there aren't working anymore, but they were open and everything and stuff. And as we walked by one of the coolers, it drew me over there. Like somebody was saying, like, come here, basically. So I went over there and I was taking pictures in there and all. And I asked, our guide, I said, you know, I mean, obviously you guys use these coolers when back in the day. And she goes, well, that particular cooler, they stopped using because it had failed. And I guess the body they had in there, of course, you know,
decomposed.
Yeah. You know, and so they believe the spirit of that body still lingers in that part of the morgue. So but that was an interesting place to go. So
I can imagine anybody, probably not very happy, right?
Like, yeah. So if anybody really wants to go out, that's one place that I would recommend they go. And they do have lock-in tours sometimes.
Oh, geez. Well, so how do you guys just normally do you guys get called? Do people know? I mean, know that you guys go in and will help get rid of a spirit or can investigate stuff? Is this like word of mouth, or is there a place like people can go find you guys' information if they want to have you come check out their house or place of business or whatever?
We actually have Facebook page underneath Paranormal Ohio People. And my number's on there.
Okay. So they can get a hold of you, Kyle, then if they go to the Paranormal Ohio People page. And so now do you guys on that page, do you guys share experiences and stuff, or people like put up haunted, you know, stuff about haunts from Ohio?
Oh, yeah. So
it's not just a page about that. People get on there and check out other people's stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
It's a place to share your stuff without being judged.
Okay. And that's pretty important. I mean,
yeah,
we get a lot of guests on, especially, you know, Kyle, people like your dad. Okay.
Yeah.
Don't, you know, that may have had a couple of experiences. They don't really want to talk about it, but it comes to the point where, you know, now he's 73 years old and he's like, hey, look, I think there's something out there. We probably need to figure this out. And they'll come to me and to some of the other guys and gals that have podcasts that they enjoy, and just like, okay, I feel like I can talk to you about it and share without being judged. Because most of the people then that listen to our shows aren't there to, you know, judge somebody and say, oh, that guy's a liar, or that girl, that, you know, that one doesn't know. They're there to gain more knowledge. A lot of people are listening because they've had experiences and they just want to be have them confirmed in their own mind, whether it's a UFO experience or a ghost experience or a Bigfoot experience.
And well, there's a lot of people that don't want to come out because they're scared to, you know, someone's going to judge them or they're going to call them
absolutely
nuts.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, and that's a shame, you know. It's a shame that people aren't more understanding and open to listening to other people's experiences, because I'm going to tell you, if I rarely have ever run into anybody who, if they didn't have an experience, they know somebody that had an experience, no matter what it is. And then when you start talking to people, then they're usually like, well, you know, my grandma's house, I used to, I remember this and I remember that. But no, I think it's great what you guys go out there and do. I mean, I would never do it because I'm scared. I'm like the guy whose wife has called and said, I got to come home. I'm not going out there. But especially, you know, Pete, for you to go out there knowing that, you know, the spirits could tell, you know, it's that old Eddie Murphy. I know that you know that I know that you know that I'm watching.
Yeah.
The Mr. T Eddie Murphy skit. you gotta have some guts, man, to do that, because you know you're the one they're gonna focus on.
Sure. Yeah.
And no wonder Kyle sends you in first. I mean, come on. Now, before I let you guys go, I'm gonna throw this out there to you. You know, I talk to a lot of people, and I hear a lot of people talk about like the Bigfoot stuff, maybe having some spiritual aspect to it, some paranormal aspect to it. What do you, like, Pete and Kyle, what do you guys think about that? Like,
I think they're connected in some way, somehow, because there was a guy down south in Athens area that said he was near a cemetery and actually heard the vocals of the Bigfoot. So, I mean, I think they coexist side by side. Like, I don't know what Bigfoot really is. I don't know if he's like, you know, what kind of, if he's a creature, if he's an alien, what he is. But I think they do coexist side by side.
You know, my opinion on it is, I don't know if it has anything to do with paranormal or not. I would say I would believe that in today's time, Bigfoot can still exist. I mean, there's so much land out there that we have not even touched, you know. So I believe that it could, you know, it's something that could be out there. I mean, people have seen it in the Alligator Alley there in Florida, you know, in the Everglades, you know. As I was growing up, there was a lot of stories about that. And, you know, so, I mean, I don't rule it out. I mean, me personally, I have not experienced it, but I've talked to plenty of people that have. And I don't never judge them or doubt, you know, what they say they saw, you know, because who knows? I mean, who am I to sit there and say, no, you didn't see it, you know?
Yeah, it'd be similar to somebody saying, well, you can't hear what a ghost is saying. You know, come on, I can't. So how can you, you know, I just wondered if Pete, you'd ever, you know, Kyle's ever drug you out in the woods and you've been out there and you've kind of felt some stuff.
Well, I got punched in the nads one time, you know, I mean.
Out in the woods?
Yeah. we were
was
at
that,
a.
Was that at the cabin when you were looking in the window?
No. Okay. No, we was at an old military grave site, and back when they just put little blocks on the ground, you know. And I guess I was stepping on one because I didn't see it. It was late at night and everything. And we were asking our questions and all. And Kyle was like 20 feet away from me or so.
About that, yeah.
And all of a sudden, I just got punched in the lower region. And I'm like, Kyle, I just got punched in the nads. And he says, what? And I said, yeah. And I'm like, I know it wasn't no animal that ran between my legs or anything like that and everything. So I stepped back and put my flashlight down. And I said, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to disrespect you. I didn't see your stone there, you know. And I think we got a recording on that saying that's okay or something.
I think so.
I got to check my stuff.
And then we also got pictures of those stones that none of them were wet, but yeah, one was like...
The one was weeping.
Yeah.
And then when I told her she can move on, that we were here to acknowledge that she was there, it stopped, the stone dried up. You know, all of a sudden there was no water on it.
Holy moly. Jeez.
Yeah, you know, we've had, and the thing is people got to also realize, Kyle and I, we do not ask for money.
Nope.
So we're not gaining anything out of it. You know, I mean, if we tell you there's nothing here, it's because we're not feeling anything. If we tell you there is something there, it's because we're feeling anything. But we're not gaining anything financially out of it to sit there and lie to anybody. You know what I mean? You got a lot of people out there. They charge you money and they come in right from the get-go and just start spewing things out at you. And, oh, it's this. Oh, I feel it real strong. And they pull out all these rods and this and that and everything. And, you know, I mean, hey, that's their gig. But what we like people to know is we're not there to pull your leg.
Nope.
Because I'm not gaining anything. He's not gaining anything financially. You know, we're not selling any information or anything like that. So
it's like we want you to trust us, and you know, we're there to believe you. You know that there is something there.
Well, I mean, look, you don't have to tell me twice. I believe you guys. So, but I appreciate you guys coming on and sharing with us. I know definitely our Ohio fans will be psyched because they love all things Ohio for sure.
Oh yeah.
You know, and now I know where to steer clear of when I'm driving to Columbus. I don't know that I can go down 23 anymore to go to Columbus. I just got to be honest with you because it sounds like there's stuff on both sides.
But
I appreciate, I would encourage our listeners, go check these guys out at Paranormal Ohio People on Facebook, follow their page and, you know, share some experiences with them on their page. I'm sure you guys would appreciate, any new fans to come check you out. And yeah, if, when we get done here, if you guys can, you know, get any of that, evidence, I'd love to share it. So I know our fans would, fans would love to hear something telling you to get out. You know?
All right. Oh, I'm sure.
So, but I appreciate it. And hey, tell Ace, thank you for, you know, calming down after, you know, I was excited a little bit there, but let Ace know that everybody around the world knows he's there. So he's okay. So,
all right.
But I appreciate you guys, and hey, keep up the good work. It was good talking to you guys.
All right. Thank you.
And you too. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the From the Shadows podcast. Until next time, never shy away from the darkness or what may be lurking in the shadows. We are out.
God only knows what's hiding in our shadows.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.